Have you ever heard the term crocodile tears? It's kind of a funny expression. I don't even think it's possible for crocodiles to cry. I don't know, do reptiles have tear ducts? There's a Google question. And maybe you've shed a few crocodile tears in your own life. You know, like when the officer pulls you over for speeding and you let the tears go, hoping that maybe he'll let you off. Or maybe you think about, remember Tammy Faye Baker with the giant eyelashes? We all carry pictures of crocodile tears in our minds. Maybe you've cried crocodile tears in your own life. But where does the term come from? Well, it was used at least as early as the 13th century in France. And there's record of a 16th century slaver, John Hawkins, and his crew who observed crocodiles in the Caribbean when they were going about their business. And they reported that they would cry and sob like a person. I don't know. They did this, it was claimed, to lure sympathetic victims into close range so that they could devour them. And so we have the term as we use today, crocodile tears. Fake tears intended to make you seem more upset or repentant than you actually are. Nothing but a big show. All fluff, no stuff. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So God speaks to Israel through the prophet Joel. Even now. Even now. Even at the worst time in your life, even at your bottom, return to me. Turn away from the things in your life that have left you half dead. Give up the things that are killing you. Turn away from your sin and your heartache. Turn away and turn to me with all your heart. That's the nature of repentance. It's a two-way of turning. Turning from sin and turning to God, turning from living on your terms and turning to living out God's hopes for your life, turning from those things, those behaviors, those attitudes that bring death, and turning to Christ, to that new life that Christ offers to each one of us. You know, it's funny sometimes how close to home the word of God given to some obscure prophet in a nowhere place can hit. Because we've all been there, haven't we? We've all come to the realization that it's time in our lives, that it's way past time to come home again. We've all been the prodigal son way too often. And we've come to our senses in the midst of the ruins of our lives, and we've made that long and painful journey back to the arms of our Savior. Or maybe you're there right now, just coming to your senses, just beginning to realize how lost you've gotten yourself. And you know what you need to do. And you know where to turn. But it's scary. And maybe God doesn't want to hear your story one more time or see those crocodile tears again. Maybe it's one of those sins that we love so much that we just can't overcome it. And we're tired of praying it. And we think God is certainly tired of hearing about it one more time. Return to me with all your heart. Return to me with all your heart. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Return to the Lord. That's all you need to do. Turn around and come back. You don't have to cure the sin. You don't have to make yourself worthy. That's God's job, not yours. You just need to turn around, and God will come running to meet you. Correction, turn around, and you will find that God has already been in hot pursuit of you, just waiting for you to notice. The great, the awesome, the almost unbelievable good news of the cross is that God doesn't love us because we're all that nice or neat or socially acceptable or easy to like. God doesn't save us because we believe the right things or say the right things or do the right things. Truth is, regardless of what your mom told you, none of us is that good or that lovable or that nice. And the even greater truth is that apart from Christ, none of us will ever be very accomplished at living perfect and sin-free lives. But God loves us, ordinary, everyday sinners that we are. And God offers to us the totally undeserved gift of His forgiveness and grace because we can't do it ourselves. We can't be good enough for long enough unless it's through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Too often, our response to the things that we know are not right in our lives, too often, our response to the darkness that dwells within us, too often, our response to the hurt that our lives may bring others and bring to God, is to cry crocodile tears, half-hearted attempts to make ourselves look better than we are. And God says, stop the crocodile tears. You're tired of crying them, and I'm tired of hearing them. Return to me with all your heart, not just part, but all of it. Return to the Lord. Or in plain language, turn back to God. That's all you need to do. That's it in a nutshell. God calls us to repent way deep down inside, not half-heartedly or outwardly, but with our whole hearts. To repent with our whole hearts is something that does not happen overnight, and it's not easy. It's a struggle for a lifetime, but it's what God calls us to do, to try and do with our hearts what we so quickly say with our mouths. Not an easy thing, but by God's grace, it is possible. When Jesus was instructing his disciples how to pray and fast, he told them pretty much the same thing. It's what's in our hearts that really matter. That outward show that we put on for others and for ourselves is meaningless. Another Lent is upon us once again. And it's a time of ashes, a time to offer up to God as a burnt offering the things that we regret in our lives, the things that we don't like about ourselves, once and for all, and turn to the only hope that we have to change and become the people that God wants us to be. And that hope is only found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So come and receive God's good gift of ashes. That's right, it is a good gift. Ashes on the forehead, not to show other people how righteous and holy you are, not as an outward sign or some wishful thinking or like it's some sort of a magic thing, but a sign that you're ready to sacrifice those things that separate you from God and from one another. As a sign that you're ready to accept God's grace and move on in your life. As a sign that you realize how fragile life is and how real is the power that sin has on us. And then go home, rejoicing. Go home and wash your face, as Jesus tells us to. Wash your face clean and thank God. Thank God that through Jesus Christ you can live a new life in the Spirit, a life defined by forgiveness and grace, not by our sins or our failures. So come and receive the mark of repentance. Come and receive the gift of ashes. Then go home and wash your face in awe and joy for God's love. Remember, mortal, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The words that we'll be using in a few moments. Sobering words and scary words. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That is the gospel truth. But by God's grace, that death of the body will not and is not and cannot be the last word. Because in life and in death and in life after death, we belong to God. Amen.